Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, with thankful hearts we come before Thy throne of grace, thanking Thee for this wonderful convention. And the brethren also, we ask the blessings upon them that made it possible, and that we also may always rejoice in Thy wonderful plan. And we ask Thy blessings upon Brother Kindick's discourse, that we also may always benefit by the things that we learned, and may we always be able to ponder these in our hearts and be able to use them in our daily walk. And we thank Thee for the gift of Thy beloved Son, which made it possible that we all may have an opportunity for life more abundantly if we are faithful to our covenant. And we pray for a greater portion of Thy Holy Spirit to be able to accomplish the things that Thou requires from us. Now we ask these blessings upon all the brethren the world over, that Thou would also bless them, those that are meeting together and giving Thee praise and honor and thanks for the many blessings that Thou hast and opportunities that Thou hast showered upon Thy children. Now we ask all these blessings and give Thee thanks, and we ask it all in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
We are very happy, Brother and Sister Kindick are among us, and we were blessed in the past by Brother Owen serving at our conventions and meetings. And now it's my privilege to introduce Brother Owen, who selected the topic under the title, Our Present Inheritance. Our Present Inheritance. Brother Owen.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you, and some of you we haven't seen for some time, and it's just been a rich blessing. Should I drop my voice during my discourse, raise your hand. I'll try to understand what it means. I have a tendency to drop my voice, and so I'd appreciate it if you tell me about it. Present inheritance of the new creation. This talk this morning is more or less a heart-to-heart talk. I think, as I have said before in the past, we in this country have been born with a silver spoon in our mouth. Regarding the truth. We don't have to fight languages, and we have access to many references, and the libraries are full of information, and it's in our language. We can understand it. If you're in a foreign country, as many of you have come from, you appreciate the fact that you have to work a lot harder for what you get. In 1946, Sister Peg and I consecrated our life to God. We gave our heart full, unreservedly to God. And we've had a wonderful life in the Lord. Many, many, many unexpected things have happened in our life. But even as a young man, I was interested. I had a curious mind, and I was interested in God, and I was interested in everything, really. I lost my grandparents when I was a young boy, and that started questions in my mind as to why do we have to die anyway? And why does God permit evil? I saw the injustices in the world, and I kept asking myself, why do we have to have this evil? You know? Why do the righteous have to suffer? And I asked myself, who is God? And what is God? I asked myself questions about nature. And I remember when I was in my teens, I became curious about the pyramid. This is before we ever got in touch with the truth. I studied a little bit about the pyramid, and I prayed. And I prayed to God that if there's any significance to the pyramid, I would like to understand it. I would come home at night. I worked while I was in high school, and I'd come home at night, usually about midnight, and I'd always sit down and study my Bible for a half hour to an hour. And I remember I came across this question that Jesus asked the Pharisees. How can you say that I am both David's son and David's Lord? You know, I pondered that question over the years until I got to truth. But you know, even before our consecration, Sister Peg and I had a certain amount of peace of God. And there's no doubt that the Lord was in our life. Many things happened to us that we considered miraculous, but they obviously were the Lord's overruling in our life. But we progressed on in our life until we came in contact with the brethren and the truth. And I can remember one of the first discourses I ever heard was by Brother Fowler in Los Angeles. It was on the parable of the wheat and the tares. I've never forgotten it. That was before we had really knew anything much about the plan. But that was a very impressive discourse to me. Someone who could explain the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know. When we moved to Columbus, we started meeting with some of the brethren in Columbus. And as time went on, we gradually became exposed more and more to the truth. The promises of God began to meet, be more precious to us. And as we continued to be drawn of the Lord, we began to appreciate the lives of the brethren and their total consecration. We began to appreciate the providences in their life as well as our own life. And we learned more about faith justification, about sanctification, about consecration. We were, as it were, going through the tabernacle, so to speak. We learn more about Jesus, more about the human Jesus, not the spiritual Jesus, but our faith and our hope increased and increased. And so finally, we made an unreserved, full consecration to God. We said, Lord, here's our hearts. You do with them what you want to do. My son, give me thine heart. That's all that God has ever asked us, isn't it? Give me your heart, and I'll work with it. But the result of that, we began to experience the benefits of faith justification, of the Holy Spirit beginning to work in our lives, in our understanding, as well as in the providences of the Lord, and our appreciation grew and grew. As it grew, the unseen things began to become more precious to us, and the seen things began to lose their attraction for us. The one thing that really impressed my mind was the words of Hebrews 6, 10 through 19, and also Galatians 3, 29, relating the Abrahamic promise. Galatians 3, 29, if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and you have become heirs to the promise. You have become Abraham's seed. Over the years, we began to appreciate how God weaved the effects of that promise with the ancients as they reflected on the promise to Abraham. Joseph, Jacob, they both stated, you know, we've learned that promise from Abraham. But we are, as you know, we are members of the Abraham seed, and we are heirs according to that promise. And to me, that promise is real, and it's alive today. And it's just as alive today as it was then, and it's going to be alive continually for mankind. That's a wonderful promise. And you look back through the way God protected and helped and assisted all of those individuals who had a faith in that promise. Brethren, that's a part of our inheritance now. That promise is a part of our inheritance. We're invited by a priest, an unpracticing Catholic priest, to have breakfast with him. The reason, he was preparing a trip to Israel. And he was emphatic when he said, you know, I'm not going to Israel to see all those artifacts that we know really aren't true. So I'm going to Israel to walk where the prophets walked, to study the lives of the prophets, to learn more about that. But at the close of our session, he was talking about we and they during the discussion. He was talking about we and they, the Jews and us. In other words, he was putting us in the Christian basket, and he was putting the Jews over there. And his statement was, almost verbatim, you know, those Jews think that their God is going to deliver them. But we know that our God is not only going to deliver the Jews, he's going to deliver us. Because he's going to bless all the families of the earth. That came from a priest. It verified this man. One reason I accepted his invitation, one reason was because he has direct access to the Pope. And I wanted to find out if the Pope was interested in Jerusalem. It's pretty obvious the Pope is, but that confirmed it. But you know, as we live today, you know, our inheritance is vital, but it's alive. It is alive. And you know, I think that we are living through the things that Paul said he saw when he was caught up into the third heaven and he couldn't utter them. We're seeing the reality of them today in this transition period. It's wonderful. That's a part of our inheritance. We have seen the Jews return and form a nation. We know from scriptural thought and guidance that the sleeping saints have been raised. The resurrection period has begun. Doesn't that thrill you? The resurrection period has begun. Gentile times have ended. Does it mean anything to you? Abraham asked God when he was going to inherit the kingdom. The time prophecy in Genesis 15, 1 through 13, the time prophecy that God gave Abraham to indicate when Abraham would inherit the kingdom results in 1914. But there are many secular things that happened in 1914 also. Bohr discovered the theory of the atom. That led to a German Jewess discovering how we could make an atomic bomb. She fled Germany. She went to Bohr. Bohr went to Einstein, and in 1937, the atomic bomb was conceived. Exciting times, nothing happening. Things are happening, aren't they? That's a part of the inheritance. In 1874, the antitypical Jubilee year began. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the Jubilee and the beginning. There's a very simple way to determine when the Jubilee began in 1874. I'm not going to take time to do it here, but it's just a couple additions and subtractions from the scripture that tells you when the antitypical Jubilee year would begin, 1874. It's not in the second volume. It's a different calculation. We believe that restitution began in 1874. Why? Restitution is returning that which was lost. What was the first thing restored in 1874? One of the first things. One of the first things physically that was restored in 1874 was we understood light. Well, I know there was a lot of calculations about light previous to that, but 1874, because of Clerk Maxwell's understanding of magnetic theory, we really understood light. In 1874, the periodic table of the elements was assembled. In 1876, the light bulb was developed. But restitution began with what? The restoring of the truth. The truth was lost during the age, wasn't it? But Jesus returned. And didn't he tell us that in John, the 14th chapter? I'm going away, but I'm going to return and receive you unto myself. Part of our inheritance, brethren. Part of our inheritance. Matthew 9:29. According to thy faith be it unto thee. It depends on the quality of our faith, how well we can grasp this present inheritance. It's been that way ever since the inception of mankind, isn't it? It's been faith. Faith, faith, faith. All through the ages. And the ones who had that relationship with God, it was by their faith. And it's that way today. According to Ephesians 1:13-14, we also, in this gospel age, have the down payment of our inheritance through the Holy Spirit. We have a down payment on our future inheritance. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus said that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, ye shall receive. Prayer, this privilege of prayer, is a part of our present inheritance. First John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Yes, the stronger our faith, the closer we are to the Lord. The more real our inheritance is to us. Paul states that sometimes we are at home in the body and absent from the Lord. What does he mean by that? He means that the fleshly things are more prominent in our life, and it interferes with our relationship with the Lord. But then we also can be absent in the body, but home in the spirit. Now that doesn't mean that you walk around daydreaming about spiritual things, you know. I worked with a minister when I was in high school, and he said he got a letter from his friend in New York City that she got hit by a car. She walked in front of a car. You know, they had a slogan. They were looking for the return of the Lord, see, and they had a slogan between them, keep looking up. She got hit by a car, and she said, I was looking up. You know, you have to concentrate. We do have to concentrate some on what we do, don't we? But what Paul is really bringing to our attention here is that regardless of what we're doing, the Lord should be in the control. We constantly struggle with this duality of nature, the spirit nature and the flesh nature. And it's going to be a struggle, a constant struggle. Paul points this out in Romans 7. We have many scriptures that point this out to us. Galatians 5:17, The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are uncompromising with each other. But the point is that as much as we can, we try to live in the spirit and keep our mind focused not only on our present inheritance, but on that future inheritance. John 15:11. Jesus stated, These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. John 16:20. These things have I spoken unto you. I'm sorry. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's how we, if we can keep our mind and our heart focused on our present inheritance, it diminishes those negative experiences, doesn't it? We have to have those negative experiences. They're part of our learning process. Very important to us. You know, the Lord is like the sculpture. You know, they said, how do you do such beautiful work? How do you make such beautiful creations? And he said, I just take away the things that aren't needed. And that's what the Lord's doing to us. He's just taking away the things that are not needed. And sometimes it's painful when he chisels them off a little bit. But it's so important, isn't it? But the thing that will bolster us and strengthen us during those periods is focusing, keeping focus, maintaining that focus on our present inheritance and our future inheritance. Brother Morehouse, I had a lot of admiration for Brother Morehouse and the way he prosecuted his consecration. And he left us with a definition of faith that I will never forget. Faith makes unseen things real to us. Isn't that a good description of faith? Yes. It makes the unseen things real. Another way to continue strong in your present inheritance faith is to search the Scripture. Like Paul states in 1 Corinthians 2:9, search the Scripture. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Yes, by faith. We make those things real to us. James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you see the Lord's answer to your prayer, doesn't it strengthen your faith? Yes. When you see the evidence of the Lord in your daily life, not in necessarily in the big things, in the little things, in the trivia. You know, we had a wonderful experience just recently in Columbus. Brother Bob Davis was invited to serve the Columbus Ecclesia. It happened that Sister Emmy Shirai was visiting with us when Brother Richard Doctor and Brother Bob Davis were in Japan. They had an Israel slideshow. They contacted a minister to show this slideshow in their church. The minister didn't want to be bothered with it, so he asked Sister Emmy, who didn't know anything about the truth, and he asked Emmy if she'd supervise this show. That's where she met Brother Bob Davis and Brother Richard Doctor. 21 years later in Columbus, Ohio, Brother Bob Davis and Sister Emmy Shirai crossed paths. Now, she's the one who helped us launch the work in Japan. That give you goosebumps? Gives me goosebumps. You know? Those things are a part of our present inheritance. Those little things in life, you know? They just strengthen your faith that He's there. He's taking charge. He has charge. Yes, it's wonderful. We have a sister that meets with us on Thursdays in Mansfield, Ohio. She has Alzheimer's disease. When we pick her up, all the way to Mansfield, it's an hour drive to Mansfield. We pick her up and she asks us how many times, I don't know, where are we going? She gets in the meeting and she's turned on. She quotes scripture. She quotes volume references. She discusses the truth with us. She brings out ideas. And when the meeting's over and we're getting ready to leave, she said, "How did I ever get here?" The new creature's up there, isn't it? The new creature is embedded. And so we need to keep building on it and reinforcing it. It's a wonderful inheritance. It's wonderful that God has created our brain that way. Romans 8:16 through 18. I would like to read that. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If you're going through a tough experience, overwhelming experience, draw a line under it and divide it by eternity. You know, God has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be there with us. Those things are part of our inheritance, brethren. These precious promises. Another privilege we have, which is a part of our inheritance, is the rest of God. God's rest. Hebrews 4:11 through 16. The whole chapter is devoted to God's rest. When everything was On the first 6 days of creation, God was involved. But on the seventh day, he rested. What did he do? How did he rest? We know he didn't rest completely because he resurrected Jesus from the grave, and that took his almighty power. What did he do? He turned everything over to Jesus. He turned all the works, the rest of the works of the seventh day, over to Jesus. That's how he rested. We can have that same rest by faith. We've inherited that rest. And we just turn everything over to our Lord. Why do you worry? Do you worry? Why do you worry? The Lord can take care of everything. Why do you get frustrated with the problems you have as you're struggling with your flesh? Turn it over to the Lord. Our weaknesses, our inherited weaknesses, are covered through the blood of Christ. Leave them there. Rest in his works, his redeeming works. That's the rest that we have. We also have a greater rest, though. It's coming up. You know, it's when the seventh day is finished. You know, it's going to be a wonderful time, isn't it? Revelation 14:13. When we pass beyond the veil, they rest from their labors, but their works follow with them. This week, Sister Agatha Pearson, I don't know how many of you knew her. I think she was in her 90s. She finished her course. In my judgment, if there was anyone who fulfilled her consecration the way it should be fulfilled, was his sister. The sister was always there. She was always doing. She was always helping. She kept herself in the background. No one needed to ask her, would you do this or that? She was there. She was there ahead of you. She knew it had to be done. And brethren, I think there are a lot of sisters that will be in the body of Christ because of that. They go through their life as relative unknowns. But they did what they could. And her grandson told me she was always helping others. Always helping others. That was her life. That was her witness. Wonderful example. But she believed. She had faith in that inheritance. First John 2:20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know it. That's an inheritance, brethren. No one can take that away from you. You're the only one that can take that away from you. That's your inheritance. A brother came to me and he said, I can give you 47 reasons why the high calling is closed. And I said, I can give you one why it's open. I have an unction from the Holy One. Yes, those are our parts of our inheritance, aren't they? Philippians 3:10. The fellowship of his suffering. That's a part of our inheritance. Hebrews 2:11. Paul says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't that a wonderful inheritance? Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Now, we're ashamed to call some of our other brethren, maybe, but not Jesus. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Ephesians 4. The discernment of the body is an inheritance. And realizing that the body is built up by that which every joint supplies, that's our inheritance. Galatians 3:29, we mentioned. John 17:10. But John 17, the Lord's Prayer for us. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You ever get strength out of that? That's a real help, isn't it? That's a real help. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for all those who would believe. That's an inheritance. In Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he trains. That's an inheritance. We won't take time to read it, but Mark 10:29 and 30 is a very precious promise of our inheritance. And John 15:16, the ordination of the Holy Spirit, the ordination in the body, the anointing, that's an inheritance. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, 7 through 11, it's recorded, Paul says, I count all things, loss and dross. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Is everything loss and dross to you for your inheritance of the truth? We all have to answer that, don't we? That's a thrilling statement to me. He counts all things but loss and dross, all things, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. What an inheritance we have. We trust it will be our motivating spirit to fulfill our consecration completely. And hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Owen, for these precious words of wisdom of our present inheritance. Brother Owen will close with prayer, after which please be seated for some announcements.
Our eternal God and Father, the God of all grace and Father of mercy, we hallow thy name. We thank thee for our relationship with thee through the blood of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. We thank thee for all the blessings that you are giving us. We thank thee for the high calling in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for all the necessary helps that thou art giving us to make our calling and election sure. Father, we pray for all those who have their heads bowed before thee, and thy Israel the world over. We pray for a swift completion of the new creation and a time when life more abundantly can come to the human race. We seek thy overruling of anything said or done amiss and thy forgiveness of all our shortcomings. And we give thee thanks for life and happiness and joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.